Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
The Ag Committee will come to order. Are we online? Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Here.
Garnos.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Klocek. Maher.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Valley. Howie.
Here.
Roden.
Here. Quorum is present. A few announcements before we get started. Well, first of all, you have the minutes in front of you. Any corrections and or additions? Action?
Approve.
Motion to approve by Howie, second by Senator Peterson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. We have the privilege of a couple of young ladies helping us here today as pages. Kema Konda, is that right?
Kema.
Kema Konda from New Effington?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where is that at?
Vice Sisseton,
South Dakota.
Okay.
That's in your district.
All right. And why don't you just say your name? Lakin Stinson? All right, from Cologne, also in South Dakota. Thanks for your help today. Okay, just a couple announcements. If you're testifying today, we just have one bill, but if you're testifying, if you'd sign up at the podium by the front door. Also, you might want to check your cell phones, make sure they're in the appropriate setting. Also, just a reminder to the committees, this is the last bill we have on our docket. We are going to have a committee meeting on Thursday morning to discuss summer study topics. Also, I think Ag Unity is going to provide us breakfast at that time. And so that will be the total agenda for our meeting on Thursday morning. Any other announcements before we get going? Seeing none, then we will take up House Bill 1167, an act to revise the statutes of fraud with respect to the sale of grain sorghums, beans, and oil seeds. House Bill 1176 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Down, and I'm here today to testify on behalf of myself in support of House Bill 1167. Senator Knudsen cannot be here today, so I've been asked. I'm the general manager of Fremont LLC with grain buying facilities in Marion, Salem, Fremont, and Nova, South Dakota. And I'd like to explain the process of what happens when a producer places an order to sell grain to our very few contracts are entered into in person. In today's electronic age, most contracts are consummated over the phone. A producer will call one of our facilities and sell a specific quantity of a specific type of grain at a specific price for a specific delivery period. Our employee will take the order and prior to hanging up, confirm the order.
Stephen, is there a microphone there someplace?
Is that better?
That's better.
Should I start over?
What's that noise?
No, I think you're fine.
Okay. Our employee will take the order and prior to hanging up, confirm the order by repeating it. Immediately after hanging up the phone with the producer, our employee electronically hedges the grain on the Chicago Board of Trade. Within 15 to 20 seconds after the hedge, we will have confirmation on our order to sell futures to hedge the grain that was just bought from the producer. The next step is entering the contract into the facility's computer system and print out a contract that is mailed to the producer the same day the grain was consummated. This process is followed each and every time we buy grain from a producer. The need to hedge grain immediately is imperative in today's volatile commodities environment. In the last year, we have seen commodities trade from up 50 cents a bushel to down 50 cents a bushel in one trading session, which spans from 9:30 to 1:30 in the afternoon. This equates to a dollar a bushel swing. If the producer decides later that he is not going to honor the contract, the grain facility still has margin calls against the hedge. Numerous times in the past year, we have had issues with contracts not being honored. I personally have been told 5 times this past summer that producers that sold us grain that the contracts were not legally binding because they were not signed. When asked why they didn't call the day they received the contract in the mail from us and contest the contract, there was always an excuse or just silence. I'd like to make the committee completely aware that this is not the norm. We enter into thousands of contracts each and every year just at Freemar LLC. And substantially less than 1% of the contracts do we have issues with. But with a dollar a bushel swing per day, you don't need a lot of contracts to add up. Freemar LLC presently procures or buys 25 to 30 million bushels of grain a year at our 4 locations. The need for the honest producer to be able to sell grain from the seat of his combine or tractor via cell phone is imperative to the producer's well-being in these volatile commodity markets. The same holds true for the grain industry. We realize the need for this service and the need the assurance that the verbal contracts will be upheld if contested. I know of numerous facilities in other states that will not write contracts with producers unless the producer is sitting across the desk at the facility's office. Verbal contracts have been a time-honored tradition and the standard in the grain industry. We need this bill passed so the few with questionable ethics do not affect the overall masses of producers that want and need the ability for verbal contracts to be enforceable. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I would again ask for your support of House Bill 1167. I'll be available for questions if there are any. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nome. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Matt McCauley. I'm a lawyer from Sioux Falls and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Grain Feed Association. I'll just appreciate the testimony by Mr. Dom and again, Senator Knudsen and Representative Cutler. Both would like to be here this morning but have competing conflicts in other committees, as I understand. Big picture, as Mr. Dom has testified, the recent volatile commodity markets have put pressure on a system that has worked for so long in this state and really caused us to reexamine what the law is relative to the enforcement of oral contracts. I've handed out a one-sheet piece of paper, which is 2 slides. From a presentation that I had put together, and just big picture, as a general rule in South Dakota, the statutes say oral contracts are enforceable. However, in certain cases, excuse me, the legislature has said those contracts need to be in writing, and that's one of those statutes is called the Statute of Frauds. And the Statute of Frauds is designed to prevent lawsuits, fraudulent lawsuits. The Statute of Frauds comes back from the 1600s, has its origins, and has been a part of the law of this land for decades, centuries, in fact. And the Statute of Frauds was designed to make sure that before Matt McCauley was going to take Senator Garnos to court, that I had something in writing that would prove the existence of that agreement. And so the Statute of Frauds really serves what the lawyers refer to as an evidentiary function. It requires there to be evidence of an agreement before you go to court and stops fraudulent lawsuits, thus the Statute of Frauds. And that's existing law today, and we're not changing that. We're not throwing that out. There are exceptions to the Statute of Frauds, and that's on that top slide. Nothing that we're doing in this legislation would change that as well. Those exceptions, if you look at the bill, House Bill 1167, those are the existing exceptions that you see in front of you, essentially on page 1, beginning on lines 13 and continuing on page 2 through line 16. Those are the existing exceptions in the law. So essentially, you don't need to have something in writing if the party admits there was a contract. If there were unique goods, not generally applicable to commodities, because commodities by their very nature are not unique, if the contract is actually performed or between merchants. And so for years, the grain industry has relied on what I would generally refer to as the merchant exception. That's how most business is done for the sale of goods of over $500 in South Dakota without having something in writing between businesses. And that way, if two large businesses, one makes an order and sends it to the other one, they've got 10 days to say, after they get the order, to say, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. The problem here is that back in the 70s, the South Dakota Supreme Court said that a farmer wasn't necessarily a merchant. And so any oral grain contract, unless it's reduced to a writing, is arguably, under existing law, possibly not enforceable. And so what we're trying to do with this legislation is bring three parties together, the producers, the grain industry, and the legislature, so to speak, or the policymakers, of saying, what do we want to have in terms of proof before we allow someone to go to court to enforce a contract. And as such, you've got the bill in front of you here today. I've been working on this legislation for about 8 months now, and working with the producer groups, working with the grain industry, and also working candidly with lawyers who are very familiar with the statute of frauds to try and bring everyone to the table and come to a bill. And I'm pleased to tell you that that bill is here in front of you today. The proposed language in the cases of a grain contract of more than $500, again, general rule is it would need to be in writing, but what we're going to say is we're going to try and codify existing practice. And what we've done is working with the Grain Tea Association, is try and look all across the state to say, how are you handling oral contracts, and how can we codify that so that each individual elevator wouldn't have to change the way that they're doing business, and so that we could allow this existing practice that's worked so long for decades of oral agreements to be enforceable, to be an existing law. And so the first subsection, I'm looking at the bill now, I'm on page 2, lines 18 through 22, is what I refer to as the audio recording. In that case, a producer would call and place an order, and the buyer could simply tape record with a digital recorder or tape recorder, tape record the call and the essential elements of that order. I can tell you that in the case where a phone call is taped, and again, if I, Senator Garnos, if you don't mind me using you for this example, Senator Garnos calls and places an order. I ask him, I'm going to record the call. I record it. And then later, about 9 months later, he says, wait a minute, Matt, those weren't the terms. And if I send him that recording, end of story, you're not going to have lawyers involved in that transaction. And in many cases, what we've seen, and I can tell you, is there hasn't been disputes up front when the order's made. It's 9 months later when the time for performance, or 6 months later when the time for performance and delivery of the grain has come. And so the important thing is, what we're trying to do with this legislation is document up front what the parties are agreeing to, so we've got that evidence, but if this ever gets to court. And generally speaking, if you have this evidence, you're not going to have to go to court, because you're going to have something that documents it and shows the parties' agreement. The second exception would be this third-party verification. If any of you have called and made an order over the phone, asked for sometimes ordered something with a credit card, you might call in and they ask you to, they put you on hold and they transfer you to a third party to verify that. So if an elevator in this case wanted to take a grain order from Senator Kolchek, they could say, thank you, Senator, for your order. We'll put you on hold, and they transfer them to a third party, someone not employed by the elevator, that would verify the terms of those orders and, again, confirm that to be happening. The third exception is what's been referred to as the master agreement. Some of the national ag lawyers are pushing for these master agreements where maybe Senator Bradford and I would sign an agreement at the beginning of the year that says, we agree we're going to buy and sell grain orally. We've known each other for decades. And with Senator Bradford, it's almost been a decade that we've known each other. We've known each other for a decade, and we disagree we're going to continue to deal orally. And there's not going to be a problem there, and we just agree to that in writing. And so that's what I refer to as the master agreement exception. And the final one is kind of a modification of the merchant exception that's in existing law. But it basically says, in the case of the purchase or sale of grain, if the one party sends to the other party a written notice confirming the terms of the transaction, they've got 48 hours after the 2 days after they receive that and have reason to know of its contents, to call the other party and say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not our deal. And once that's been sent and received and they've looked at that, then that would be an enforceable, that would satisfy the requirement of a writing. The statute of frauds essentially keeps you, generally speaking, keeps you from getting to court, keeps you from ever taking a case in front of a judge. You could still fight about terms and that sort of thing if you ever got there, but this would remove a major roadblock that's in existing law, a major question mark relative to the way that the ag community has purchased and sold grain for many, many, many years. And again, this change is in front of you it's in an attempt to preserve that existing system and not let the 1% of producers or less than 1% change it for everyone else. The flip side is to do this would be to simply require that all contracts have to be in writing and be signed. And you've heard the testimony about the limited trading days, and that might mean if Senator Howey calls near the end of the trading day, you're not going to be able to get the price. And if it's on a Friday, you might have to drive in on Monday. And so it's designed to keep the producers in the field, make this convenient, but yet allow the system to function together, and at the same time have some sort of indication that, in fact, an agreement was reached, and keep fraudulent cases out of court. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the committee's indulgence on a somewhat complicated a matter, but a relatively simple concept. So I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Johnny Kirstein, South Dakota Farmers Union. We give, I guess, our last Me Too of the year for this committee. Also, as a former elevator employee, this is a good bill. It's just provides ease and I don't want to say transparency because that's my other bill line, but it just makes everything easier for our members, and they asked us to support this, so thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jim Melhoff, the director of the Grain Warehouse Division of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission, and we're supporting this bill. One of the recurring themes in all of the meetings I've attended over, especially the last couple of years with the volatility in the markets, has been the eye towards counterparty risk, and that lending institutions are looking at as these grain buyers and elevators, as I'm sure Mr. Dom could tell you, sometimes their margin calls are huge on a daily basis. And the lending institutions want to make sure that those contracts that are in place for those margin calls are actually going to be good when the day comes for the grain to be delivered. So we view this as a win-win. It's good for the producer, it's good for the industry, and the PUC has taken some time to review the bill. We think they've done a good job crafting the legislation. We've ourselves gone out and checked with LRC to relieve ourselves of any concerns about changing these particular statutes. And we're happy with the bill, and we'd urge you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Melhoff. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kathy Zander. I'm the registered lobbyist and executive director of the South Dakota Agribusiness Association. And I would just like to share with you that there's over $5 billion worth of business, grain business, done in the state, and that's all done over the phone. So we just ask you to support 1167 so we can continue to do business as we've done and be able to enforce oral contracts. And I'll stand by for questions, but if you really have questions, Matt and Steve can answer those for you. So thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brenda Foreman, registered lobbyist for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives and also their executive secretary. Just very briefly, not to repeat anything that's been said, it's been laid out very well why this bill is so important to both the producers and the elevators in the state in terms of our working and selling of grain. So with that, we will ask for your support and encourage your support for the bill before you. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will open to opponent. Any opponents? Seeing none, we will go to questions, and perhaps I'll start out, Mr. McCauley. Don't have a real clear direction on this question, but from a legal standpoint, in, you know, when I've been involved with contracts, especially for purchases like this, you know, there's a great deal of legalese and, you know, thuses and therefores, and they seem pretty anal in nailing people down on a specific contract. And I'm wondering how, in a circumstance where you're just receiving a verbal recording, the legal implications of taking that as a contract rather than, you know, something that's written down and spelled out in detail. Will there be some type of guidelines as far as what would be required on the recording or specific information contained, or is it simply just evidence?
Very good question, Mr. Chairman. The essentially, for the law to enforce an oral contract, they're going to need to know the essential elements or the key terms, so to speak. A key term is always going to be price, the type of goods, and the delivery date from a big picture perspective. Everything else is going to be legalese. It kind of falls in line after that. But this recording wouldn't necessarily be the entire evidence of what the entire agreement was, but just enough to get you to court where you could go in and prove the rest of these terms as the case might have been. So there's an initial, again, the statute of frauds doesn't determine winners and losers. It's an evidentiary burden to say before you can really even get to court and get a judge to look at this case and have a trial, you got to show us that there's some indication of some type of an agreement. And it's an evidentiary to say, look, we're not going to be going to court without something to show that, yes, there in fact was a meeting of the minds. And you're going to need a meeting of the minds on those key terms. If you have a tape recording and you omit price, that case isn't going to go anywhere. I mean, even if you get around the statute of frauds, that case isn't going to go anywhere because price is an essential element.
Very good. Thank you. Further questions? Senator Valley.
Question for Matt. I thought I understood. Is this for just marketers and producers, or is this between marketers also?
Mr. Chairman, this would be for any sale of, as the bill title reads, any sale of grain of over $500 between any buyer and seller. And the other thing, Mr. Chairman, if I might, these are not required to be used. These could be used by an elevator if they saw fit. These are alternative. And you'll notice in the bill, we start off on page 2, line 16, saying or, and you have all these ors that are in the legislation. So these are all ways of alternatively documenting this. So if, Senator Valley, if you and I wanted to buy and sell grain on an oral basis, nothing requires me to record it or use a third-party verification. But if I wanted to ensure that there was ever a dispute, I've got this list of options here that I could use to document that transaction. And again, I can always say to you, come in and sign the deal. But I think it's an important policy consideration to make to say we shouldn't force producers to come in out of the field to make a deal. We should provide these options. And whether it's between producers or between merchants, the grain industry, the bill doesn't distinguish. It just provides any contract that involves a sale of grain of over $500.
Further questions?
Follow-up?
Senator Valley.
The one that I didn't quite understand is a master agreement. So could you explain that and how that becomes evidentiary if it's just we agree to always trade by oral? How does that become evidence?
Mr. Chairman, that question relative to the master agreements, that's the one area of this proposed legislation where you wouldn't have the specific terms of the transaction documented, but you would have a master agreement where between the two of us where we've agreed that we're going to conduct business orally. And so that essentially it puts you and me on notice that at any time we can be brought into court and we've agreed to litigate oral contracts and then prove up those terms. Now, I can tell you that any oral contract that I'm seeking to if I'm going to take you to court seeking to prove an oral contract, it's going to be my word against yours. The real winners there are going to be the lawyers, candidly, because you're going to spend a lot of money calling witnesses and that sort of thing. And so any grain elevator operator, any buyer of grain should have a process or system in place, even with a master agreement, to document what those are, because you might get around the statute of frauds, but you might have a problem getting a judgment.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. McCauley. Senator Klochek.
Question for Mr. Dahm. Could you explain the role of Fremar in the buying of grain intermediaries, I think, in this Verisun plant scheme of things, and the role you Fremar played in that? And was the farmer protected? Was Fremar protected? How did that all plan out in the end as
Mr.
related
Chair,
to these contracts?
That's really a complete separate issue from House Bill 1167. But to answer your question, Senator Klochek, Fremar LLC procures the grain, or was procuring the grain, through an agency agreement with Verisun. When Verisun went bankrupt or is in bankruptcy, they stopped receiving grain at the Marion location. The contracts that the producer entered into were all with the producer and either U.S. Bio, Marion, or Verisun LLC. It states that right on the top of the contract. It states it right down in the signature box. So we were acting as an agent for Verisun, and those contracts were between the producer and the ethanol plant. Prior to Millennium Ethanol being sold to U.S. Bioenergy, Fremar LLC did procure the corn under Fremar LLC's name, and all of those contracts, Senator Klochek, are being honored by Fremar LLC.
Any other questions pertaining to 1167?
Follow-up question?
On the bill, Senator Klochek.
Yes. So if we play this out correctly, there were some contracts that went through you, that went to Verisun, that were oral contracts that?
No.
There were none?
Well, every contract is oral in the beginning.
Until they sign.
Until they sign the contract, correct. Every contract that went over to the ethanol plant was signed.
Okay. So that wasn't a problem then?
No.
So then what's the essence of your bill? Evidently you are having some. May I continue, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Klochek.
I'm trying to pinpoint this. That's what I'm after, is to try to find out if the problem isn't with the Verisun issue or whatever, then you must have a problem just with dealing with your company.
As I stated in my testimony, we have had numerous instances. I've had five individuals that have told me verbal contracts are not enforceable because I did not sign the contract. We have been in litigation three times this past summer, and two more cases are pending over verbal contracts. Producer sold the grain. Very shortly thereafter, the market rallied. This is Fremar LLC. This bill has nothing to do with ethanol.
And then
any further questions,
sure.
Senator Klochek?
Okay, so we've got that figured out. So you said five contracts out of how many contracts do you do?
Thousands.
Mr. Dahm, just a reminder, keep the comments coming through the chair.
Okay.
Comments,
and then
Senator
one final
Klochek.
Question, Mr. Chairman. And then is Fremar like a cooperative then?
Mr.
Dahm.
Fremar LLC is a joint venture between ADM and Central Farmers Cooperative. 50-50 joint venture.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, I just ask if it's a cooperative or it isn't. That would be my question.
Mr. Chair, Freemar LLC is not a cooperative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
Any further questions? Seeing none, we will close. Senator Klochek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for Johnny Key. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your diligence. In the earlier testimony, and thank you to Mr. Dumb, we talked about protection for farmers, and it's been talked about these tape recordings. And I guess my question to you is, what protection is there for the farmers with this bill? What actual protection is there for the farmers?
Mr. Chair, I would say that I would probably defer this to Matt, but I would say that under the tape recordings and the protections for the merchandiser, the farmer would also be protected. So the elevator or whoever couldn't say, well, it was less than what we agreed to or more. So
okay.
If it's recorded and verified by a third party, I would say that that would protect the farmer.
And then I just have one follow-up question.
Senator Klochek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this gentleman or gentlelady calls in and they want to make a contract, and they hang up the phone, and all of a sudden they realize, hey, I don't have that much grain. I have to cancel it. If they call back and cancel it right away, would that be acceptable?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'll defer that to Mr. McCauley.
Mr. McCauley.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Klochek, as I understand your question, if a producer calls in and places an order and the buyer accepts the order and there's a contract created, as I understand, correct? And now you're wondering, could the producer then call back later and change their mind and cancel the contract?
Yeah. And is there a time frame they could do it, or is that not acceptable at all? Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I would say in those cases, number one, if a producer calls in and agrees to sell 10,000 bushels of corn at $5 a bushel on a certain date, and then that's accepted and they hang up, that would be a binding contract. If the producer then calls back and says, I've changed my mind, I want to get out, that's going to be up to the buyer to decide if they want to let them out. I mean, a contract, the definition of a contract is an agreement that the law will enforce. And if you've got an agreement on price, term, description of the goods, generally speaking, the law is going to enforce that agreement. So that would be on a case-by-case basis. It might also depend. You could have a master agreement in that case that allowed you as a producer a 24-hour window to cancel it. And so it's a good question, but it's difficult to answer because there might be some additional factors there relative to your relationship with that particular buyer.
And then,
thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one follow-up for him, if I could.
Senator Klochek,
thank
please.
You, Mr. Chairman. And can tape recordings be altered?
Mr. Chairman? Yes, I would say that tape recordings can be altered. Contracts can be altered. The authenticity of signatures can be challenged. And I'll tell you again, having this evidence allows you to get to court and prove up your case and prove the terms. Now, you're going to use this evidence, but one of your defenses would be if something was altered, you're going to be able to take and say, look, this was altered, and this might be asserting this as a writing, but it's not necessarily proof that I'm going to win or lose. By the same token, if you were to be in litigation, Senator Klochek, and someone produces a document that has your signature on it, mm-hmm. you could say, wait, you might claim that's my signature, but it's not my signature. I didn't sign it. That's been forged or that's been altered, and that would be a defense.
Well, now you led to another one. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, with your diligence.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
One more
and
follow-up.
So that document with that signature, that could also be copied from another document, could it not?
Mr. Chairman.
Your signature, but yet it was not actually on that document. It could be transposed on with carbon paper or something.
Mr. Chairman, that forgery is a problem under existing law.
Right.
We have forgery
no
cases
further
all the
questions,
time.
Your Honor.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Howey.
Yeah, I just have a brief question for Mr. McCauley. You mentioned that you made reference to suing Senator Garnos. So I wonder if you'd be willing to represent me in suing Senator Klochek. just curious.
Mr. Chairman, do we need to answer that question? All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Point of order.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we will go to comments and or action. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
this is a good bill. It's a bill that's needed for the grain buyers, and it's needed for the producers. In the old days, we used to be able to go in after an elevator, after the closing hours, when the grain market's closed, and sell grain for that day. But now it's so volatile, and it changes so fast. You know, overnights can go up 50 cents, they can go up a buck, that all of the grain that we sell now, we do orally over the phone. And this protects not only when I sell something over the phone, within 2 days, I get a written contract. I'm sure just practically every grain dealer does that. They send out a written contract. You sign that written contract, you send it back in. But the farmer needs that ability to sell over the phone. Otherwise, he's going to have to stop his work and run into town and sell something and sign that contract. And there's always a bad apple that tries to get out when grain moves a different direction. And when this happens, a lot of the elevators across the state of South Dakota are co-ops that are owned by the producers themselves. So that guy isn't jipping that elevator. What he's doing when he backs out is he's jipping his fellow producers that also do business with that elevator. So it's a good bill. I can't see that it has any negatives to it at all, and hope that everybody can support it.
Thank you. Further comments, Senator Valley?
Well, I was in the grain business. I grew up in it, and so I'm and also I bought and sold millions of bushels of grain in my life. And in response to the discussion that Chairman Roden had, usually when you do one of those contracts on the phone, the things that you're talking about is you agree on the amount of bushels, the price, the delivery date, the grade of the grain, and the delivery point. So you're going to sell 20,000 bushels of corn, number two corn, at $4.52, delivered to point, whatever that point is, on such and such date. Might be first half of December or last half December. You got a window in. That's what you agree to over the phone. Now, if there's problems that comes in and it's number three corn or number four corn, then there's, in the written part that you'll get, it says what the discounts are, if it's wet or whatever. That's all in there. You don't go through those. But that's the main things that you talk about over the phone, and you come to those agreements. My dad taught me that your word was your bond. And when you make a sale, whether it's good or bad, it's a sale. And when you make a purchase, whether it's good or bad, you suck it up. And that is how business has always been done in the grain business, and it's always honorable. Now, there are a few, and I had a couple, that, you know, bought the grain, and the grain went up. Well, I can't deliver it now. Well, that's what this is for. If you, now, back then we didn't have recordings or the ability to do that in the same manner. So I think this is a very good process, and you don't have to do it. It's as was testified, it's all got ores in there. You don't have to do this, but it is a manner in which you can do commerce. And so with that, I would move do pass. And excuse me,
I will accept the comments. What we've talked about before, I just should start.
That's fine. Fine, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for the comments. Further action, Senators Hansen. Motion do pass by Senator Hansen. Is there a second? Second by Senator Peterson. Comments on that motion, Senator Hansen.
I think that everything that needs to be said has been said. This is a good bill and needs to pass.
Thank you. Senator Klocek.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I will support this today, but I do not see the protections in there for the farmers. I think that there should be more done to protect the farmers on this situation. The elevators seem to get the protections. I just don't feel there's enough of a safety net there. I am concerned. I've dealt with some elevators, and they were not, their word was not their deed in all cases. This last summer, of course, we had the Verisun conflict. My phone got pretty hot with that issue, where farmers were very concerned about not getting paid their full contract amount, very concerned about this past summer, catering by the elevators, when the prices got high, they actually just quit buying. There was not a free market out there. They would not take delivery on the fall, and some would only take it 5,000 bushels or more. And that penalized the small family farmer that sold grain in smaller lots and tried to do forward pricing at the top end. And I found that very unfair to the farmer. And the oral contract issue is a huge issue. I doubt if very few elevators would doctor the phone messages, but it has been done. In other issues, the phones, the tape recorders, signatures have been forged. And, of course, eventually those type of operators do go out of business or they're caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And, of course, some terrible things happen when the elevators close down, and I'm sure we're all aware of that in the grain buyers. I will support this, but I just am saddened that there's not more protections in there for the farmers. I was hoping we could maybe find some ground to do some things to protect the producers against some of the unscrupulousness that goes on in the grain industry. So thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman.
Further comments? Senator Peterson.
Just a quick comment. This works both ways. I've contracted grain last summer that we had contracted a year in advance where I was delivering wheat for $4 when the price was way over that. Right now, my son's delivering corn to the local elevator for $5.60, and that elevator is honoring that. You know, it works both ways. It protects the farmer, and it protects the elevator.
Further comments? Well, I would just pile on to that by saying that I believe your best protection is the truth, and it does go both ways. If in order to be fair, you have to be able to discern the truth. And if you have a recording, you know, we see every day these television shows where they produce a video videotape of a crime being committed, and see a guy that's been adamantly pleading his innocence, and they plug in a tape and it's over. Well, I don't see this as much different. If they have a tape recording. You know, I sat through kind of a little commentary since we have a couple minutes. I just sat through a Judiciary Committee listening to trial attorneys talk about the fairness of being able to sue a company for $600 million that had paid $8 million for an asbestos company, and they thought that was fair. And talking about the legalese and the rationale behind that, and about pushed me over the edge. It was a breath of fresh air to come in here and see a bill that's actually reasonable and fair and just and supportable in its fairness. So with that, I've vented sufficiently, Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's interesting to hear you mention the judiciary, because I was listening to that on the internet, and I had the exact same feeling. But back to this bill, you know, the one thing that I think needs to be mentioned is in the first testimony, talking about the elevator operator has the ability to, in fact, is a necessary component. The minute that they enter into that contract is to go to the board and hedge it. And that's how, as Senator Peterson talks about presently delivering $5 corn and getting paid for it, the elevator is also being justly dealt with, because they have the contract that they have negotiated with the commodity company. And this is the acceptable means of being able to buy and sell goods. And that's why the ag producer has the benefit of many real advantages. You know, you go to the elevator and you have confidence that you're going to get paid. You don't have to sit on an accounts receivable. The elevator has the confidence that that they're going to get paid for handling the grain. That's the business that the elevator's in. They're not in the business of speculating. That's the same reason why the producer has the ability to be able to make a contract for the sale of the goods. You know, it eliminates the speculation. So I think that it's a formalizing of something that we've been doing all the time, and it really makes a lot of sense.
Further comments? Seeing none, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1167. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnas.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klocek.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 9 ayes.
Motion carries. House Bill 1167 goes to the pass, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. With that, we have reached the end of our calendar. Are there any announcements for the committee? Motion by Senator Valley to adjourn, second by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned. See